Well, I desire an interest in your prayers. Appreciate each one being here this morning. Going to make it easy for you to follow in the scripture. I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord out of Isaiah chapter 55. So if you want to start trying to find that, that's where we're going to end up reading. And I want to talk to us ultimately about what I've wrote on the board, the cycle of the Word. Now, you know you can't come here very often anyway and not hear me make some kind of reference to my trade and automotive things, so bear with us. Many years ago now, there was a man by the name of Nicholas Otto. I don't know if that name rings a bell with you or not, but he was born about 1832 and died about 1891. He was a man of German descent. I'm not sure if he lived his entire life in Germany or not. He may. I can't remember all the details. I do know that he has something named after him. It's called the Otto Cycle, not Otto like automobile, but O-T-T-O. He has something named after him. It's called the Otto Cycle because he is credited with being the creator of the first petroleum-based internal combustion engine. And he had another name for the Otto Cycle on an engine is four-cycle. So if you know what a four-cycle engine is, you know what an Otto Cycle is. And it's a process where air is drawn in and fuel is drawn in and it's ignited and it produces expansion and power, and then the exhaust comes out, and then guess what? It starts all over again. So that's why we call it a cycle. A cycle is something that seems to have a beginning point, but it follows all the way through. And really, you could pick about any part of the cycle and say, well, here's where it starts. It starts at top dead center, or it starts with the intake stroke, or whatever you want to do on an engine. And you could start anywhere in there and it wouldn't matter because it continuously is a cycle or a loop. So I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to look in chapter 55. I'm going to read verse 10 beginning. It says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Now, I was taught when I was in school that water has a cycle in our universe, in our earth. Water has a cycle that it goes through, and if you do some studying, there's data out there that will people have assimilated over a period of time, and I don't know. I think it's obviously approximation because no one can actually measure what I'm fixing to tell you, but they tell you that the oceans comprise about 96-97% of the water that's on the earth. And they measure it in cubic miles. Okay, you get that. That's a big unit of measurement. It's not a cubic centimeter or a cubic foot. It's a cubic mile is how they measure that. And the amount of water that comes down in the 48 states of the United States, if the earth was sealed up and we got all of the rain there's a lot of assumptions here, okay? But if the United States, the 48 states, was flat and level and it was like a concrete bottom or a plastic bottom, and we got all the rain that we got in a whole year, They say that the water would be about 30 inches deep across the United States. So I don't know. That's a lot of water, but it's nothing compared. It's a fraction of the percentage of water on the earth compared to what's in the ocean. So if you look it up, and you look up, you can Google this whenever you take a notion to. Maybe it'd be better to do it after service, but there's something called a water cycle that you can look up, and you can find it anywhere from 4 to about 9 different categories that they say water is in. But I chose a five-step process so that we could maybe make it a little clearer. So water, we know, exists in the ocean. It exists in lakes and subterranean caverns, and you know, we have what we call surface water and groundwater and aquifers that's down deep in the land, and sometimes we've got water that's they classify water that's above 2,600 feet deep and below 2,600 feet deep, and I don't know why that is important, but there's water that's at various places in the earth. And we find that the water that's we can look at and we can touch and we can swim in, that's a storage or a collection point for water. So remember, we're a cycle. Anywhere you pick that you could follow this in full circle, and it'll come right back to where it was. So if you start with a storage area, then there's a next step in the cycle is evaporation. And evaporation happens because the sun comes out and it shines, and then we have something in the summertime, particularly we call humidity. And the water vapor is being, you might say, vaporized by the heat of the sun, and it's rising up, and as it rises up, it comes to a place it calls, the next step is condensation. And condensation causes clouds to form. It's big groups. It's a, you might say, a clump of water vapors. It gets together, and condensation begins to happen. We have what we call precipitation. And then it comes down like rain or snow or something like that. And as it falls down on the earth, it goes where? It goes on the leaves of the plants. It comes on our heads. It comes on the ground. Sometimes it runs off. This morning I got up. We got 1.25 inches of rain at my house last night. And I got up this morning, and because the ground had been kind of soaked from the rain a couple of days ago, the creek was up and kind of out of its bank in places, but it was still contained. It wasn't out in a field or anything. But we see that collection system working. The rain came down in precipitation. It filled up the creek bed, and it's running down. And ultimately, the water that goes past my house ends up in Grand Lake. And they have that dam down there, and they produce hydroelectric electricity. And then it turns into Grand River in Oklahoma and goes down. And it's still part of this storage system. But all along besides evaporation, there's something they call transpiration. And that's where, as the water comes up out of the ground, the trees are absorbing, and all of our plants really is absorbing moisture out of the ground. And as it goes up through the plant and it comes out as far as kind of a water vapor from the leaves, and it goes out into the atmosphere, it goes up, and this whole process of condensation and rain or snow in the winter, whatever, it's all part of a cycle. And that's really what Isaiah was using as an illustration here. Look at it carefully. He says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven," that's precipitation, okay? "As it cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither." It don't go straight back up to heaven. It don't go straight back up into the clouds. The rain doesn't bounce off of the earth like your hood of your car and go right back where it come from. It comes down. It absorbs into the ground. It runs and fills the lakes. It nourishes the plants and animals that's around us. I like to have some storage containers. We call them stock tanks at my house where the cows can come and drink. And without that, last night our power went off and my wife said, well, the cows won't have any water. And I said, well, they got a 300-gallon tank out there. And I think before they drink 300 gallons of water, the power will be back on. And I said, if not, I said, it's raining out there. They can drink out of a mud hole somewhere. They will be all right. Okay? So it's all part of this cycle. And he says here, the water's coming down, the snow's coming down. It don't go right back up, but he says it waters the earth. It's part of the cycle. It's being absorbed into the ground. And it maketh to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know why we like rain? Not just so we can mow the grass, but so the grass grows so the cows can eat the grass, so I can have a steak once in a while, so I can have a hamburger, so you can have some sausage, so you can have some chicken. You know, if you didn't have water, you wouldn't have fried chicken. It's all part of the cycle. And that's what he's talking about. This thing is a cycle of the water coming down. It's going and doing what water does for the earth and what it does for creatures and all of that. And man has harnessed water and the combination of water and gravity. And we have had all kinds of things to benefit mankind, from grist mills in years past. There's multiple grist mills, or old places where they used to grind grain into flour and cornmeal and all of that kind of stuff along Spring River, right up here by Carthage, because I don't know, in a 20-mile stretch there in the past, there's probably been 5 or 6 different grist mills along Spring River. And now all of that water goes down to Grand Lake, and we've got lights in this building, maybe not directly from that dam down at Pensacola, but it's part of the process. The part of gravity and the mass of water is producing electricity. All part of this cycle. Now let's go back and read another verse. It says in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now Isaiah is talking about something totally different than water. He just brought the water and the cycle of water to give us an illustration. And he says here, so shall my word be that goeth out from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word. We know that if we read John chapter 1, it tells us that the word was made flesh, that Jesus came down and he dwelt among us, and he was the Word. He was the personification. He was the direct communication from God the Father to mankind. And from there we realize that he came with a purpose. What was Jesus' intent for coming? It's so that you and I could have access to God the Father, whereby we could be saved. That's our confidence. That's who we're trusting in. That's what we're believing in. And he tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, if you wanted to go there, he said, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's a direct communication. It's the word that come down, and it had an intent. Its purpose was to do something, not just bounce off of mankind and go back up to the Lord. Remember, there's a cycle, just like the water. There's a cycle for the word. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There's a reason that God sent his word, that he sent his word through Isaiah, that he sent Christ to communicate to us. There's a reason for this. We call it the word of God. There's a reason that it's here, and it goes through a cycle. And I'd like for us to go back and start at the first verse of Isaiah 55, and I would like for us to pay attention a little closer to what he's saying here. He says, ho, that's like hello. We say that once in a while, don't we? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So here's an announcement. We get advertisements all the time. If you go on your phone, you're going to get an advertisement. If you drive down the street, there's advertisements. If you walk in a place, a retail place, there's going to be an advertisement. It's on the end cap. When you're walking down through the store in Lowe's or Walmart or any other place, there's advertisements all over. Lowe's comes out with new product lines all the time. I go in there and I like going in there. But they try to sell me stuff that I'm not necessarily interested in. It's right in my face when I go in there. So here's the advertisement. Are you thirsty for something? Maybe you don't know what you're thirsty for. Have you ever bought something you didn't really intend to buy or wasn't thinking about? I bought something like that this week. Wasn't really thinking about it. But I decided it was a good deal, so I bought it. A friend of mine that I work with sent me a listing for a pipe threader. Now, how many of y'all want a pipe threader? I'm not talking about one that you crank with your arm. I'm talking about electric one. You plug in the wall, you slide your pipe in, it clamps it, you put the die up there, and it makes the threads on it. You know how expensive those things are? That's thousands of dollars. Well, this guy had it listed for sale. And about five buckets full of fittings that was probably worth what? He wanted $400 for it. I thought, I messaged him back. I said, is it functional? He said, yes, it's functional. I said, I'm coming over. I wasn't even thinking about a pipe threader, but you see, I got exposed to it. There's people that are thirsty there's something missing in their life. And when they realize that God has something for them, they say, yeah, well, I've been wanting some of that. Didn't know what it was. That's what he's talking about here. It's part of this cycle of the word. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. The things that would be nourishing, that would be gratifying, that would be fulfilling. You didn't know you wanted it until you tasted it. But I want it. Now look, he says, wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I'll tell you another story about water. Right after camp meeting, end of July, 1st of August, you know what kind of weather we have then. I wanted some green beans. I worked up my soil. I got a shower of rain. I thought, boy, it's going to work out pretty good. I planted five rows of green beans in my garden. Only thing that came up was crabgrass. I put sprinklers out. I didn't get, I don't know, maybe a dozen plants. I don't know if it was the seed, but I'm going to tell you something that was really missing. The rain. I didn't have the water that I really needed. If I'd had plenty of water, I think I could have had a crop of green beans. But it was missing. You know, you plant some seeds. This verse is talking about spending money for that which is not bread. There's people that spend their energy. They spend their time. They spend their they're searching for something that will fulfill their soul. There's a big hole down in there, and they don't know what to put in it. So they put entertainment in there. They put maybe try to fill it with food. They try to fill it with something, indulgences of. They try all kinds of things. People try drugs. They try alcohol. They try other kind of substances out there. And there's something that's kind of missing in there. And it's because they're trying to plant something in, out of the cycle. Your being, humanity, is designed to be in the cycle of the Word. Somewheres But this is, I'm talking about someone that don't hardly know what they want. But the water of the Word comes along and it begins to cause something to happen. Something starts to sprout. There's a, once you get a taste of it, you want some more of it. It says, incline your ear and come unto me. Verse 3, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We're starting to get somewheres here. You're not just tasting, you're entering into a covenant, a relationship, a contract, if you will. He says, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Here is somebody that can point you in the right direction. Why? Because he's in the cycle of the Word. The whole intent, the whole purpose of coming to a place like this is so we can get ourselves in a position to where we can get more of the Word. We first get a little sample. Hey, that tastes pretty good. That sounds pretty good. It's something that meets a need that I've got down in my heart. And you come into this place and the expectation is that the preacher will have something that'll cause you to be able to grow by. And it's a part of the cycle of the Word here. He says, behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. I know this is Isaiah speaking about New Testament times. It's a prophetic thing, but we live in the New Testament time. And I'm telling you that this cycle of the Word is that those that didn't have a heritage of going to church, those that didn't have a heritage of growing up and having the Word expounded to them and Bible stories read to them as a little child and taught what was good and what was right and all of that, they can become part of this nation too. It's part of the cycle. And you see how we went from someone that was thirsty for something. They didn't really know what it was. And now we're at a place where there's a nation being risen up. There's somebody that is in a place to share the Word, being part of this cycle of the Word. It says here, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Don't... Well, I'll tell you another story. I'm full of stories today. Yesterday, we were working around here, and we got so enthused about what we was doing that Rodney and Brother David and I kind of forgot about lunchtime, I guess. I mean, Brother Mark was here, and he was painting, and directly he stopped for a break. And I thought he stopped because he'd been working outside, and he was getting hot. And I told him, I said, I'm glad you're taking a break. And he said, y'all are making me feel bad. I'm taking a break. He was eating his lunch and we were just working and busy. And I didn't realize it was lunchtime until it was gone. And it was 1:30, quarter till 2. And anyway, Brother David and I went to Carthage, got some stuff. And Rodney said, I need something to eat. I might get a hamburger, might get a headache. So I bought him a hamburger. I paid for it. I got back. And before I give it to him, I took a bite of it. It's just the way it happened. So it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Well, you know, when you open a box up and it's got a fresh made real hamburger in it, it's hard not to take a bite. Seek the Lord while he's found. You know, you start getting a little taste of the Word and what it can do for somebody and the fulfillment that it is to know that God loves me and I can be his child and I can be part of this nation that he's raising up. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. This is all part of the cycle. At any given time, you know, when it was raining, those plants, there was water still going up those plants and out to the ends of those leaves. It's all, the cycle is just continuous. You know, if you got a V8 engine, that cycle, that four cycles is going on in eight different places. And you know, there's, well, we won't get too technical there. But there's part of that cycle going on at different stages in every one of those cylinders. And that's the way the Word is. It's, the Word is working and it wants to work in every one of us. Some of you is just a taste. Well, never heard of that before. Let me have another bite. And somebody else is being like David and he's being a commander and a leader. And somebody else says, I want to be on that. I want to be part of that nation. I want to be part. I'm hungry for something. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and he shall have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What happens to our lawns when we don't get rain for 3 weeks in the summertime? They turn brown, don't they? And we get some rain and what happens? It looks like everything. I can see it. I've seen rain. You get rain in the night and by the end of the next day, the lawn has changed colors. Maybe it's not perfectly green, but it's starting to get green again. In 3 days, you need to mow the grass. It's just the way it happens. It's because the cycle of the water is coming in. The cycle of the Word is the wicked will forsake their ways. They'll quit their sinning. They'll start doing the right thing. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, those old wicked things and imaginations that you used to run in your head all the time and thinking about opportunities to do wrong and all of that, you'll quit all of that. It's part of the cycle of the Word. When we begin to look into the Word of the Lord and it begins to water us and cause nourishment and growth, that those things will start disappearing. We won't have time for that. He'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, it says. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That's a long ways from, everyone that thirsteth, isn't it? The cycle has went on quite a ways. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. The Word, to comprehend what the Bible is talking about. Don't start out trying to understand prophecy when you don't even know who Jesus is. There's people out there trying to predict when the end of time comes and they don't even know God as a Father. I'm going to tell you, they're going to get it wrong. There's not enough statistics out there to draw a conclusion. You're going to have a relationship with the Lord to be prepared for death. It don't work any other way. He says, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, or than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he talked about the rain, the cycle of the water. And he said, my word, verse 11, so shall my word be. It's a pattern. So shall my word be. It'll be like the water cycle. The word cycle is the same. Where are we in the cycle of the Word? And I say all these things this morning because I want us to be encouraged. You know, we can look around and say, well, there's only a handful. There's only this many for Sunday school. There's only this many in service time. But I'm going to tell you, at any given time, if there's enough that responds to the whole, he that thirsteth, this thing could snowball and be could grow disproportionately any given time. So keep your chin up. Got to keep doing the right thing. Keep being our part in the cycle of the Word. You never know what it's going to take off like a wildfire. I want to turn to verse 12, still in the same chapter. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Can you see that when you don't even know what it's like to know God? Pretty tough. When you feel like that everything's against you, and you feel like that life has treated you unfair, and you don't have a Heavenly Father that you can take your troubles to, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, life's going to look bad. And it's going to look like the hills and the mountains are fixing to fall on you, and everybody's out to get you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're in the Word, if the Word is in you, you know what happens if you cut a tree down this time of year? What happens? There's something starts coming out of it. It was in there all along. It's the moisture. We call it sap. It's water, but it's got other nutrients that's going up to the leaves and all of those kind of things. It's part of the cycle. You can't take someone that doesn't know how to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You remember what it said in verse 6? 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You got to know where to look. You got to be willing to look. You got to be hungry for it. It's beyond. It's part of the cycle, but it's beyond, ho, everyone that thirsteth. I got something here you need to taste. We was at Myrtle this year. Some young men that had perception that I didn't have found a sassafras tree. They dug up a root, peeled it, cut it up, boiled it, and made some sassafras tea out of it. I'd never had any exactly like that. I'm going to tell you, it tasted good. I couldn't have told you a sassafras tree from a hickory. Some of y'all might be able to, but I didn't know. They did. And we were able to capitalize. It's just like the Word. There's people out there that don't know that God loves them. And they don't know that God's got something good for them. And they don't know that God's got a solution and a way to reconcile the troubles in life. They don't know that. And sometimes we've got to go along and say, here, tell me what you think. Take a drink of that. You look like you're thirsty. You don't even know what you're thirsty for. It might be like my pipe threader. For as you go out with joy, and he led them, and be led with peace, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, that's how life is before God, isn't it? Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is talking about the gospel day. It's talking about the day we live in. It's talking about the cycle of the Word. Verse 11 said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What come out of it? It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We come to a place like this. We call this part of our Sunday morning time worship service. We come here and we hear testimonies. Thankful for the testimony we had this morning. We hear sometimes some rejoicing. We hear amens and hallelujahs. We hear songs that are uplifting and encouraging and blessing and maybe paying honor to God for the direction and the level of comprehension that he gives to us. Where did it start? I don't know. It's part of a cycle. It's part of the cycle of the Word. You remember he started this chapter out and said, "Ho, everyone that thirsted." You know, there's people out there that's craving something, some kind of meaning in life. And they don't know what they're craving. And here it said, it come all the way down to the point, "It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." This cycle will continue as long as mankind will be willing to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's another verse. As more that we begin to taste and see and digest and eat and grow and mature in the things. So I want to tell you a little account that's come to my mind. It's real meaningful for me. Some of you know this, some of these details, but Jamie was asking me the other day, when she's tried to put this album together, she's got it sent off to be printed, and Lord willing, we'll have a copy of it here in a few weeks. Pictures of our building project. She asked me the other day, said, "So when did you start?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I've been doing this forever." And so I went back and looked, and I remember one of the first steps was for us to be able to build on like this. The city wanted us, all of the lots had to be on one deed. Anybody else remember that? We had to go and basically sell all four lots that we owned to ourselves for a dollar. We did that. So they're all on one deed. We had to have a survey, then a deed. And then we had to present that to the city, and the city had to consolidate the lots so we could build from one lot to the next lot. You know when that was? We had the survey and the deed transfer in 2008. You know when we got the granted that the city said you can build across those lot lines if you want to? Is in September of 2009. Took a long time, it seemed like, from November to September. And somewhere about that time or shortly thereafter, we started doing some digging over here and pulling out some trees. You remember the big rock pile and the dirt we had over here in the corner? It seemed like forever that wouldn't go. Brother David had to mow around him, bless his heart. Weeds that grew up and all these kind of things. But it's been a process. It's been almost 15 years. It's all part of the cycle. You remember Ed Chester? He'd come over. I remember the first time that I talked to him. He's over there standing by his fence, and I'd went over to see Brother David or see if Brother David had something at his house. Or I don't remember what the situation was, but I walked by and got to talking to Ed. Ed, we'd love to have you come over to service sometime. I know you'd love everybody over there. Oh, I'm afraid if I went over there, the roof would fall in on me. That's what he said. But as time went on, we started working here. He'd come over, and he'd say something like, "I'm the inspector. I'm checking y'all, making sure you're doing this right." And before long, we'd need a nail or a wrench or something, and he would say, "I think I got one of those over there. Let me go look." Countless times we made little trips over there to his little rock garage and come back with something. Remember one time that we needed to weld a piece of conduit. He said, well, I've got a welder over there. Went over and welded a piece of conduit up and in his little shop. Whatever he could do to help, he did. Then I don't know if Ed ever put any money in the offering box while he was here. And he probably would have never give, if he did, he probably never would have give what he did when he passed away. But when he passed away, he told Brother David and I, he said, I got my will all made out. He said, something happens to me. He told us where to find it. There came a day that I told Brother David, I said, I think we ought to get that out and read that and see what it says. And in there, he had named the church here as a beneficiary. A fairly sizable sum of money is what it ended up being. Please understand me. My intent is not to embarrass anybody or make anybody feel conspicuous this morning. But as time went on and that materialized and he passed and the money was put in our checking account, it's what enabled us to have to hire people to help us a little bit with our project. Done a lot of work ourselves, of course, but was able to hire somebody to finish, to hang the sheetrock and then to finish the sheetrock, pay for some new cabinets. Pardon? Go ahead. He did. The word became real to Ed. Ed started coming to church. This was a long time before he passed. He started coming to church. Started to seem that he told me and Brother David both that he just loved everybody over here. He's a man that felt like the roof might fall in on him. Came to our little brothers' meetings that we had at the time. So I want to try to conclude this. Because he gave, we were able to do more. And because we were able to reach out, what kind of reaching out was it? We was looking for somebody to finish sheetrock, and here Mark and Sonia are with us today. It's a cycle of the word, folks. That's what it is. You know that the word of God will do something for you today that nothing else can do. I want to be part of the cycle of the word. I can't raise a crop. I can't raise a garden without water at some point in the cycle. You know that rain that comes down? There's so many benefits to the rain coming down on a garden. It helps pollination of the corn, of the beans. It washes the dust and stuff off of the leaves where the leaves can do their thing, and that thing called transpiration and the water vapors coming out of the leaves of the plants. All of this is part of a cycle, and every one of us here can be part of the cycle of the Word. Where are you at? And where am I at? I want us to be encouraged not to look around and say, there's a whole lot of effort been put in to adding on, remodeling, all of this to the chapel. I want us to look at it as we're part of the cycle of the Word. Be willing to be faithful at our post of duty. And reaching out in any way. There's people, I'm convinced, 100%, there's people out there that want something and they don't know what they want. There's people that want the Lord and the blessings of salvation in their life, and they don't even know what they're hungry for. We were talking yesterday about eating other types of meat besides chicken and beef and stuff like that. There are a lot of things that I don't think I'm hungry for. You hear that? There are a lot of things. There's stuff out there that other people have eaten, and I said, that's fine if you want it, but I don't think I'm hungry for that. And I don't even know what it tastes like. And there's people out there that says, I'm not hungry for God. I'm not hungry for religion. I'm not hungry for anything like you're talking about. But they haven't tasted it. I don't know what whale tastes like. That was brought up yesterday. I might like it. I might like it if I tried it. You know, there's people out there that would love the experience of salvation if we could just get them to taste it. Where does the cycle start? I don't know. You could pick a spot for the cycle of the Word, but I'm going to tell you, somewheres we got to realize, oh, hello? You're thirsty for something. Let me introduce you to something. There's something that's fulfilling, that'll bring you gratification and satisfaction in your life. It's called the Word. I want you to be part of the cycle of the Word. I appreciate everyone here that's been a contributing part of our building project over the last 15 years. Whatever facet that is. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I haven't hardly done anything. But in reality, it took all of us. It's taken all of us. And it takes all of us in our part of the cycle. You just wait until you get a vehicle that's not hitting on all of the cylinders. I don't care how many you got. You can have a V10, but if one of them's not contributing, guess what? There's a problem. There's a problem. I want to be a contributing part of the cycle of the Word. Thank you for your attention. Sorry to keep you this late. You pray for me.